It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read the first 13 verses of that chapter. We got started in there last time we were together, and we're going to continue that study. Matthew chapter 25, beginning to read with verse 1. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, love for you to do that. Got many studies there for you. Plan of Salvation is very clearly stated there on how to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And then also our church constitution is there. And that would be at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And that is the wonderful opportunity we have to come together and to study the Lord's precious Word and to be with you together. And so now that we have enjoyed the introduction, let's begin with the reading of God's precious Word. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in unto him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to come and to enjoy this time together, to study your precious Word, and to learn this very, very important, most important principle concerning salvation, concerning being saved. Father, please, that you would show us the way of truth, that you would guide us, and anyone, Father, today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that through this study today, through your precious Word today, through your Holy Spirit today, that they will come to know you as their Savior. So please, Father, you direct them to your Son, the Lord Jesus, today through this study. Help us to grow, Father, and if we know you as our Savior, then it's so important and exciting to study a scripture like this because it excites our heart as well, knowing that we are ready. And so please, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we find this study to be very, very powerful and very necessary and very interesting, we know that as we look to these words, it says, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Number one, we need to be ready for the Lord Jesus when he comes. He will be coming very soon, I believe, and I know that that is something that they have said for many, many years, but as the years pass, we know that time is closer, and so we need to be ready. And so we need to guide and lead our steps, that we know the Lord Jesus and that we're serving him, so that we'll have much to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus and praise his precious name when we do meet him. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we find a difference. The difference is that five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. All of them seemed to go out and prepare to meet the bridegroom. So why do we have five that are wise and five that are foolish? We find the difference in verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. Took their lamps, but took no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So there is the difference between the two. One's wise and one was foolish. It is a matter of preparation. The lack of oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. They claimed to live, but they have no life of God in their soul. Now let me explain that. Until the day that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust him as your Savior, until that day comes that you invite him into your heart, and that is a personal relationship. This isn't a time that you have just always believed. I ask and I pray that you do not trust in those feelings, because the day that you meet a righteous God is a day you'll never forget. And that day is the day that you admit that you're lost. You admit that you need a Savior. And the Holy Spirit's work is to convict you, to show you that you're a sinner, and introduce you to the Lord Jesus. When you trust in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. As I said, the oil stands for the Spirit. So the lack of oil represents the lack of the Spirit. You have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus. As we look at these verses of Scripture here, we find that all slept. Now, that in itself is somewhat a sad statement. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. I'm afraid that we're very guilty of that. We are very guilty of not being busy, not telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has died on the cross. He died on that cross to take our sins away, to set us free, to save us. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, giving us life. So not only are our sins forgiven and we have no longer condemned, but now we are alive and saved, and we are enjoying this life each and every day serving the Lord Jesus. But they slumbered and they slept. And so it tells us that they weren't busy about doing the things. They were prepared. Some, half, five, were prepared. But they were all not serving as they should have been. And this is a tremendous picture of the church today, because the church today is in that same condition. We are not out telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not proclaiming the gospel, telling of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We are not being vigilant. We are not watchful, as one said, as we wait for his coming. And we should be. We tend to do the same. We kind of doze off. And all the time, the devil is luring souls into hell. We are not doing the job we should be doing. We tend to sit back and watch as the world goes by. We come to church, we come to Bible study, we come to Sunday school, we go home and watch the world go by. But better yet, we're watching the world go to hell. And that's exactly what is taking place. And the reason for all the evil that we see today is one statement: the absence of God. The absence of the Holy Spirit. His absence. And it's not God that's absent, it's man that has rejected the presence of the Holy Spirit, rejected the call of God to salvation. And so in turn then, we continue to become more and more evil. And that's the world today. That's the world we live in. In Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That is speaking to the Lord Jesus, to the people that know the Lord Jesus. And that salvation is the completion of our salvation. Because when we believe, when we trust in the Lord Jesus, we are born again. But we are, and should be, becoming more and more like Jesus every day we live. But when we face him, when he comes to get us, when he calls us home, or if we have to face the grave, either way, that is when our salvation will be full. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Looking forward to the day. Death is a graduation point, period, time for the saved. For the believers, true believers in the Lord Jesus. Again, as I said at the beginning of this, if you tell me that I've always believed, I have to question your salvation. And you say, well, Larry, you're not supposed to judge. I'm not judging you to condemn you. I am looking at what you're saying. And I know personally that the day you truly accept Jesus as your Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart is a day that you will never forget. And you'll stop saying, I've always believed, because there's going to be a day that you met him, because there's going to be a day that you accepted that you're a worthless sinner and I need Jesus as a Savior. So please, come into my heart and save me. That day, that time, you will never forget. Now, maybe the date and maybe even the hour, you can't tell me. But there is a definite time in your life that you went from being dead to alive. That's a day. That's a day that you need. So please come by faith to the Lord Jesus. These here, and as we do, we tend to sit back and again to watch the world go by. And as we read here in verse 11 of chapter 13 of Romans, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. What Paul is saying here in Romans is that we need to get to work. We need to be busy because he's coming. And we got so many out there that need to hear the truth, that need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Physical sleep is necessary, but there are times that we should be awake and serving. If we would go back to Matthew chapter 17, a chapter we have already studied, but if we would read from verse 1 to verse 9, there's a time here where they should not have slept, Peter, James, and John. Let me read Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice and a cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples heard it. They fell on their face, and they were so afraid. They were awake. They were awake. It's necessary at times to stay awake. What would have happened if they'd have missed that? And what about the time when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, Watch. Stay awake, and I'll return. And we know the story. When they returned, when he returned, they were asleep. They missed the sweat drops of blood that came from our Lord Jesus as the pain and the agony, knowing what was coming. They missed that. Mount of Transfiguration, they were present. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they missed. They missed. It is such a joy to study and to know the Word of God. Sometimes we have little fruit. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, we will know them by their fruit. And so, in not to be in the position of judging, and yet we can tell if there is no fruit. And we have little fruit today. Very little fruit today. We must be prepared. The foolish took their lamps, but no oil. The wise took their lamps and carried extra oil. Again, as we've said many times, the oil in the Scripture stands for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of every born-again believer. If you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, every true believer is born of the Spirit. We have that in John chapter 3. We've read that in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5 as well. And so it's so important that we see that. So as we look now and we find, behold, the bridegroom cometh. We're back to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. All those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. So they all had their lamps. Five were wise, five were foolish. Five were foolish is the ones that did not have the oil. Go ye out to meet him. This midnight cry awakened the virgins. All trimmed their lamps, according to verse 7. It's very important that the lamps be clean, be trimmed, be bright. I'm just a little bit too young to have went through a time when we didn't have electricity. But I know my parents, grandparents, they all were raised in a time when there was no rural power, there was no electricity. And so when you got up in the morning or when you needed to see, you would carefully trim that wick. It had to be trimmed straight. Anything that was charred from use before would be taken off, would be cut away, and then you would, as you turn that wick up ever so slightly, and then you would light the lamp. It would accomplish many things. It would produce great light. And the reason it would produce great light is because you have kept that trimmed. If you don't trim it, it begins to put off some smoke, and it would char the inside of the chimney of this oil lamp. And I'm sure that most of you have seen this or witnessed this, even though we all have electricity today. Maybe it was a time when the power was out and you got the old oil lamp out and you lit it, but you noticed the chimney was dirty. Well, it was dirty because you have not cleaned the lamp. The wick, you have to keep it clean, and it must be straight. It must be completely cut straight, not curved in any way, and that way it will put off real bright. But now here the chimney of that lamp is dirty, so it needs to be cleaned and kept up. So all those things are very important if you expect to have a good light. So it's very important that the lamps be clean, be trimmed, and be bright. So if it's not trimmed, it'll become charred or uneven. The chimney then becomes cloudy so that the light is not bright. And so it's important that we have our light shining bright. Our spiritual lamps need to be trimmed and burning brightly. And that's what will take place when you have the heart, the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus and serving him. In other words, yielding to him, listening to his call, being obedient to his call, studying his word, fellowshipping with other believers, growing in the word of God. Your light continues to shine brighter and brighter because that wick is trimmed and the oil is present because you have the Holy Spirit. And the more that you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more that you walk with him, the more that light shines brighter. The more that we yield to his will, to the will of God, the brighter the light shines. And so it's very important that we understand that. That's a spiritual picture, but we can understand the physical picture that we have here. How many things of our life causes our lamp to be dark is the question. Our light should shine in our life and shine to others so that they see that we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved and be born again. The virgins all awoke. They woke up. They all trimmed their lamps. The five virgins, after trimming their wicks, the light shined brightly. But the five foolish, after trimming their lamps, the light didn't shine at all because they had no oil. How troubled they are. They had put off to the last minute this preparation until they were faced with the bridegroom coming. Now, we can move that comment here to when he calls the church home, and you realize that, you know, I've always said I was going to trust in Jesus, and I've heard people talking about you must be born again, and I've heard folks say that you need to have that personal relationship, but I just never quite got around to it. And that's your problem. You didn't quite get around to it, and then all of a sudden, either he comes to get his church and you're left behind, or death comes. You don't know when. I have this wonderful, sweet opportunity of preaching a lot of funerals, doing a lot of funerals. And those funerals is almost, not all the time, but almost every time I make the statement, there's a day to be born and a day to die, and those two decisions we have no control of. So if you have no control of that last, the day you die, you must be ready. You must be prepared. They could not go out to meet him without carrying a light. You see, the light was a very important part of the preparation to join the marriage procession. That was something that was very customary. It was very necessary. They could not go out, and they waited too long. Now, let's just move over to John just for a minute here, and then we'll get right back to this. John chapter 14, verse 3. John 14, 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wonderful. We need to be prepared to meet him. We must have the light of the Holy Spirit. We must have the inner relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that's what happens the day you trust in the Lord Jesus. That's something that is ignored and rejected today by so many churches and so many religious groups that they are talking about kind of a universal salvation. In other words, everyone is saved. No, everyone isn't saved. There is more scripture and words about hell in the Word of God than there is about heaven. Because God wants to warn us. He wants to awaken us from a sleep that we would not just sleep ourselves right into hell, because that's what's going to come if you don't trust in the Lord Jesus. To be saved is to possess Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we cannot share him with others in redemption. That is, we cannot divide our redemption among those we love, among our friends. We are saved by grace. It is grace that God gives, and he gives it to us when we ask him for it. We ask him for it when we know and recognize we're lost, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows us our sin and shows us we need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace, and it is God-given grace. Only God can provide this. He is the only one. The believer has no more grace than he needs. And redemption is an individual matter between each individual and God. It's between you and God. I can tell you how to come to know him. I can introduce you to the Lord Jesus, but you have to invite him into your heart. And when the time comes and you say, Larry, please, will you give me this? I can't give it to you. I can tell you And you can go to the Word of God, or you can listen to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will convict your heart and show you. But when it's too late, it's too late. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?